Morning, Jefferson.
How are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. How are you?
I see me.
Yes, sir.
I can see you. Are you fine?
Yep, yep. Can't complain, Chair.
Who's leading the SA team?
Just want to check whether with the PLO quickly, Chair.
Okay.
Morning, Chairperson.
Hey, Matafa.
Morning, Darren.
Good morning, Mr. Matafa.
How are you, Chair?
Hey, I'm fine, Matafa. I know I owe you something.
Yeah.
I'm just caught up somewhere, but I'll give the shout.
No problem, I'd appreciate it, Chair.
Sure, sure.
Mr. Zamita, are you well?
I'm good, Honorable Matafa, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, what's your question,
Ninja, and what
the
thing? You know, you're going to be in the car.
Konnichiwa.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Chair. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah, no, I'm figuring.
Okay.
Yeah, love much.
Oh, okay. Get in?
Yes, Chairperson.
I think we are ready to start. We get the minister and the deputy minister.
Chair, I don't see them on the platform yet, but there are people joining, so not sure.
Did you get a PLO to check whether the minister and deputy minister are coming?
Still waiting for his response. I've sent him a message, Chair. Let me just call him.
Yeah,
good morning, Chair. Lebu here, the PLO. The is supposed to be joining. He's running two meetings at the same time. I'm just trying to get hold of him. The one calling now. I'll come back to the meeting soon.
Why do you block me in? Is that too loud? Is it too loud?
No, I'm going to make coffee.
Oh, but it doesn't matter. Okay, but I'm a ginger like a kiss out of the pink man.
All members are just trying to check whether the minister is joining us. According to the PNO, they are supposed to join us. Just in a few minutes. Aí, então... kaiso ache o jani bona road la le rap
kelele impact enyana
oh
yeah okay just bring more
oh I had a problem being in a professional.
My umuntu beke khokhela sometimes kunale le nkinga le ukuthi akukho you know mentorship sometimes u yazi le sports le football nantika sports ayina i-organization efana nale dinami nawo le ukuthi ukuthi ayi lo make phuma make fa ngiyazi i-team izosole kuyikhona manje besinayo sinayo i-team le Free State Kwakwa Stars
and it was 2-0
it's one man ownership the team so now there will always be a struggle when Elisa is mentioning you know and a lot of contestation manje ukuthi ama benefits and all those things amanye ama members acaba ukuthi ngona ngiresign ngiye somewhere it will take time before because beke yiza kahle nje kwaqhosta so that's always fine so ukhuluma iqiniso ukuthi manje kufuneka siproduce at least beyond the Celtic
My apologies, Chair. Yes, Chair. The minister is not available for now, as I had indicated. They are at the Kusile presidential visit. However, the SAA team, the full team, is here. We have in the meeting. The interim chairperson of the board and the interim CEO and the team of three. They are in the meeting. I think the minister will join in when he finds time. But the full component of the SAA is here. And from the department, we have Malangsten, we have Noni Mashiko.
Okay, thanks, Dave. I think we can start. Let me welcome the honourable members. Welcome Department of Public Enterprises, Team SAA led by acting interim chairperson, Mr. Kleiner, and your team. Ladies and gentlemen, media on the platform, we are meeting to deal with the special appropriation in 2021, which mainly today we are looking at the South African Airways. Mr. Kleiner, you will take us through the presentation. This is a response to the letter that we sent to the minister and to the and to our good spells. So you take us through the presentation. But before we come to you, can I check any apologies, Darren?
Yes, Chairperson. We received an apology from Ms. Blangwini, who was attending another committee meeting.
Okay, that's fine. If that if others are coming to you, let us know. Okay. I think we can shoot straight to the presentation by South African Airways. Mr. Ken and your team are going to take us through. Let's see when they're going to get to our wings again and fly. Mr. Kena?
Chair, thank you very much. Good morning to yourself and the honorable members of the committee and to the DPE and the SAA team. We truly appreciate an opportunity to engage with the committee. It will be an honor for us to respond to the questions, as you said, the chair. Indeed, we are responding to the invite and the specific questions that were posed to us. So you will see the presentation that we have will indeed be directed to those questions. We'll try to keep it as brief as possible. Before I start, Chair, I would appreciate to get an indication of how much time do we have on the presentation so that we don't talk forever and ever.
Let me check with you to do justice to your presentation. How much time do you need?
Yeah, I think the presentation is relatively brief, so the next 20 minutes, I think it's 10 past 9 now, but I think if we're taking too long, we should be done. It will be done by myself and the interim CEO. But let me, with your permission, just briefly introduce the team that I brought with. It's myself, as you said, Chair. And then we have the interim CEO, Thomas Kupolo. You can see he's got his picture and the right tie there so that we don't miss him. So we have Sikile Khonto, who's the CFO as well. Don't see his picture all day. He is as well. He's got a blue tie, so you can see him. And then we also have two non-executive directors who joined us to give us further support. As you know, Chair, we are an interim board that was appointed on the 8th of December. So two of those board members, one is Nick Madupa. Nick is based in the UK, but he's joined us and he's always been present in our meetings because we hold most of them virtually. And then we also have Professor Edna Fantaste joining us. I don't necessarily see him just now. So that's the team we brought, and as you also highlighted, we've got the DPE team. Chair, I take it the presentation was sent to the committee, and we can just quickly take you through that. It's an 8-page one. We'll try to make it as brief. The first slide really giving the background. Chair.
The presentation was sent to us, but I just wanted them to start writing the presentation for the for the benefit of the public out there.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. Hello. So we can go to slide 2. We go to slide 2. So on the background, we thought this, although it's common cause and it's known, we thought this just to give you a bit of background of when we talk SAA, particularly for this appropriation that we're talking about, because it talks to the So we're talking.
Just a second. Can I ask everybody else who's on the platform to mute? Please mute, and then we'll allow Mr. Kena to continue his presentation. Just check that you are muted. You are mic. Thank you so much. You may continue, Jeff.
Thank you, Chair. So SAA, when we talk SAA, the group, the big subsidiaries, it's Mango, it's the SAA Technical that provides the technical services, and then we have Airchef that provides all the catering at the airport, but also where we've got lounges and also in the planes, not only for SAA, but also for the other companies, but I'll come back to that. So the airline, SAA itself, the company which went into business rescue, but it's out now, there's a slide, we'll talk to that. stopped flying last year, March, and it hasn't taken off yet. I know the chair said when are we going to come to fly again, but we talked to those. Mango has been is a low cost and 100% subsidiary. Technical is also 100% subsidiary, and it does largely the aircraft maintenance and services of SAA and some of the regional and international airlines. And then we have Air Chef, which is, as I said, it does maintenance. SAA went into business rescue, I think it's common cause known, on the 5th of December 2019. And there were the business rescue practitioners, which is joint of them who were appointed. And SAA only came out of business rescue on the 30th of April. In fact, when the questions were raised, it was just before that happened. Air Chef. So I will concentrate a little bit more on the subsidiaries, because that's where the appropriation largely talks to, but we talk to say. So two key subsidiaries, SET, which is South African Airways Technical, and Air Chef, and the bulk of their revenue, from SAA, because although they were providing services to other airlines, but they and their revenue from SAA. And then, as one would imagine, when SAA stopped flying, they were severely impacted. The subsidiaries themselves, Mango, SAA, SAA Technical, and SHS did not go into business rescue when SAA went into business rescue. So when the 10.5 billion was requested, it was always clear that the 2.7 billion that amount was earmarked and targeted for the subsidiaries. Because as I said, even though they were not in business rescue, but they to a greater extent lied to business, so they also impacted. But also if you look at Mango as well, the pandemic incorporation was in fact affected. So it was against that background that it was clear that they also needed support to be able to restructure themselves and be able to respond to the market. So now, the next couple of slides, then Chair, as I said, we package them to respond to the questions as we receive them. So if you go to slide 3, where we deal, the question was how the 2.7 has been reallocated. So just to confirm, so 2.7 was for the subsidiaries. You see there's We've put in two tables, so there's one which says detail. If you can go to the next slide, please, slide 3. It's not changed on the screen. I'm not driving the slide, Chair, so I'm not sure who's driving them. So if you can go to slide 3, please.
Jeff, I think let's talk about pilots. Who's piloting the slides?
I'm not sure. Oh, there we are. I'm not sure. In fact, I should know who's piloting the flight, because I'm not sure. We will talk about pilots, because we still have a problem with the pilots. I'm sure the CEO will talk about those. So thank you. So on slide 3, we put in two tables, the one that says details and the one below. So the details is really demonstrating what was requested and approved. So 10.5 was approved, but only 7.8 was dispersed. Why 7.8? Because that related directly to SAA, South African Airways, which is the entity that was the business rescue. The 2.7 was not has not been dispersed yet, which is why we are here. So it's not that it wasn't approved in the budget in terms of the approval processes, but it needed to be appropriated to the subsidiary. And the other point was, because the business rescue practitioners were dealing with SAA, that is why then they looked at the 7.8 for the subsidiaries. We will explain how that 7.8 to date, what has been paid and what is in terms of the disbursement, 3 billion was for the voluntary severance package and employee liability. 0.6 billion was for post-commencement finance creditors, because they were creditors after it went into business rescue that did provide funding and needed to be funded. So then we had unflown liabilities, a portion of that 2.2, and then there's also working capital, which was earmarked when we restart SAA after the business rescue that would assist in that restart process. So we can go to the next slide, please, the slide 4. So just to, because then the question was, how has this amount been, what's the expenditure? So of that, as I said, 2 billion is for voluntary settlement packages, that's the third bullet, and most of that has been settled by one part which we talk about in terms of the pilot, and then the 600 to the post-commencement creditors has been paid. And then you recall in the previous slide I showed about 2.2 billion for unflown ticket liabilities. So to date 800 has been paid, because one of the other things that was thought it was appropriate to do is to use a voucher system, so that as and when people then fly, we are able to honor that. And I know Mango, for the local the commuters, the FAA has been talking to them to see how they assist in that. So because not all the amount has been settled yet, so there has been money that has been ring-fenced, because some of these expenditures are going to be incurred, are going to be settled into the future. They've been incurred, are going to be settled into the future. So part of that 4.4 billion goes to some of the employee liabilities which have not been settled, and one of that part is the pilot. There's also unflown ticket liabilities, because those are being settled over time. And then there's guarantees. We'll mention a little bit there, because what has happened is now government, the National Treasury, is no longer offering guarantees, and then as a result, now FAA has to find a way of ensuring that some of those guarantees that are requested can be honored. So we have to bring them some money. And also then there's that 2 billion on the restart. So all of that is talking to the 7.8 billion that has been dispersed. The 2.7, which we're talking about today, is for the subsidiaries, which that amount has not been dispersed into the FAA group. If we can go to slide 5, please. So the other question was then, what is the status of the business rescue plan? Maybe at this stage I will allow, with your permission, Chair, the CFO to talk about this particular one. Because as I said, when the question was asked, it was before the business rescue practitioners process, or the business rescue practitioner plan was concluded. And that happened. CEO, if you can just maybe talk to the slide, and then I'll come back.
Thank you, Chairperson. And greetings to the honourable members and all the stakeholders. Just to quickly give an update in terms of where we are in terms of our business rescue plan. As you are aware, at the end of April, we basically went completed the business rescue process. Where we are now is that some of the outcomes of that particular process are as follows. One of the big intentions was to ensure the liquidity and solvency. And we can confirm that where we are now, SAA is indeed liquid and solvent. Shareholder funding by appropriation allocated funds to the proposed plan. 7.8 billion received to date, and that's about 3.5 billion, as the chair has already said, that will be received over a period of 3 years. The payment of secured lender debt that will go into the receivership, that will definitely be paid over a period of 3 years as well. And then again, there was a proposal for the generally concurrent creditors who are not necessarily secured, and about 600 million to be transferred to the receivership as well over a period of 3 years to be able to come and service that particular debt as well. There was about 1.7 billion paid to lessors based on a 6 month discharges that we were able to then service there as well. And then the post post their commencement creditors paid in full, we have been able to settle those through that particular business rescue process and the organizational structure. As you can appreciate, colleagues, that this is something that you don't do once off. It is something that we have taken on over and above what the DRP practitioners have done, and we are continuing with that just to make sure that we realign and make sure that the organization is at the right level to be able to accommodate what is currently happening on the market. And then from there, there is a revised company structure. We can confirm that initially when the DRP process started, we had about 4,500 employees. Currently, we're sitting at about 1,000 employees because we introduced issues of VSPs and Section 189 process, and we can confirm that a significant number has taken advantage of that particular opportunity. On the other side, as you are, which Ms. already asked that, when are we getting back into the skies? The business rescue plan initially had proposed the resumption of flying at about July 2020. However, the impact of COVID-19 and the timing of the receipt of funding to address the plan has resulted in a later restart date. We looked at the environment, we looked at where the organization is, and as a draft or as a proposal, we're looking at July, August 2021. But however, this date comes with some complexities, Chair. The issue of the COVID-19 is still something that we need to consider. And now that we see possibility of getting into the third wave, that would possibly be a critical, you know, factor in us getting back into the skies as well. And you know, Chair, that as you've seen in the media as well, there is a complex matter that we are dealing with of pilots as well. We are busy negotiating with them. We are even meeting with them today to try and find an amicable solution to that. But the longer we delay on this one, or we are not resolving it, it will definitely give us a bit of a tough time in terms of us looking at the restart of July and August 2021. But at this stage, that's what we have, and the environment and the issue of the pilot is the one that will be a key in terms of us finalizing the restart plan. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, CE. Chair, I know the CE spoke about the issue of the pilots. I just want to really stress that, because that plays a big role in our ability to restart timelessly, or at least in the terms of what we think is possible. And as you said, I mean, they had their meeting Wednesday, and they are going to engage again. And the business as practitioners, before the process ended, they also spent a bit of time on that. So it is important that we try and find a solution that will assist the new airline from restarting. And in the same light as the other employees did come to the party when there were options that were put on the table to ensure that everybody takes a little bit of a sacrifice so that we are indeed give the new airline a chance going forward. The next slide, please, you can go to slide number 6, which is in a way talking to this one. The question was, when is the business rescue process coming to an end? And as we said, now that has indeed happened. And then from the 1st of May, they've exited. There is something called a receivership, which we have not necessarily spoken to it here in this presentation. This is where, in terms of the business rescue plan, some of those liabilities which would be paid over an extended period, those would be taken care of in that receivership, which the creditors did vote for the receivers. And they are dealing with that. And that was very important for it to happen, Chair, so that they could be able to take some of those liabilities out of the SAA balance sheet so that indeed it is able to be liquid and solvent going forward. If we can, and then there was a question that was asked, if you go to the next slide, please, that wanted to know the status of the of some of those investigations, which, so we've highlighted, we put in a slide just to highlight
a sense, some sense of those investigations that are underway. From the engagement which we've had as late as with the SAA Legal and Risk Compliance, the information we have is that there's a lot of work that is happening to ensure that some of those cases that we've highlighted do indeed receive that attention and they are followed through. A lot of things happened at the SAA, and it is important that the proper process of the law does indeed happen. So the SIU is getting full cooperation from the Legal and Risk and Compliance Unit, and we will continue ourselves as an interim body, and I would imagine and, those that will take over from us will ensure that all of these cases are indeed followed through. I was advised that the SIU did present, I think, to SCOPA, to give a sense as well of where these cases are. So just highlight, I won't go necessarily to all of them, but they are still in their attention and the cooperation. So then there was the next slide, I think it's the last slide. If you can go to the next slide, please. So what are the other financial challenges? That's the last slide, Chair, from us. The challenges that we're facing is largely on the subsidiaries. They did not go into business rescue. They have not received the money. They've relied largely on SAA in terms of their business, particularly SET and AirShare. Mango has been flying, but also the pandemic has severely affected them. So the delay in them getting the 2.7 billion share has put their financial status in extremely strenuous position. It's an understatement that I'm making. So it is the sooner we they are able to access that, the better. I mean, there's always been technical problems why they couldn't access the money through the business rescue practitioners. Because in terms of the business rescue practitioners, even though there's money that they've been bringing, in terms of the process, they were not able to access the money directly. That is one part. The other part, which going forward, as I indicated, the issue of the guarantees, but we've returned some of the money because now we have to deal with, in terms of SAA, they need to provide some guarantees as they proceed. So that's one part. That has an impact on the working capital, because when the working capital, that 2 billion, which is ring-fenced working capital that was put in place, we're not anticipating that indeed there'll be this call it a squeeze on the guarantee. The issue of the pilots we've mentioned, Chair. So that's the direct response to the question, Chair. I'm sure with your permission then we'll be able to respond maybe to some of the other specific questions which maybe we have not directly addressed yet. So thank you very much, Chair, for allowing us to present. I've gone through over by 3 minutes from the time I myself said, and I apologize for the sake.
No problem. Thank you, Jeff. CEO, do you have anything to add, non-executive director, who are accompanying the board and management? Anything to add?
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. I think what we must just add, in addition to what the board has said, that as we look at the restart plan and the overall turnaround plan, we need to make sure that every cent goes the extra mile. So we need to be prudent in our spending to make sure that we are able to bring in efficiencies within the organization. As you could imagine that with the tough environment that we are facing, we need to really make sure that we are robust in terms of our turnaround plan, but more importantly, make sure that we are very tight on the costs that we might be facing as a business. Thank you, Chair. I thought I should just add that part around the strictness around cost management. Thank you.
In the absence of any other addition, I'll go to the honorable members. Honorable members, can you indicate, you know, how we do it? Those who would like to interact with the presentation. Can I get your names?
Tafa.
Oh, Matafa. Ito. Kaiso. Any other taker? Okay. Let's see. let's start with Honorable Matafa.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. I will start firstly by acknowledging and thanking the board chair and the team for their responses to the questions from the committee. And I think to a large extent, this presentation covers most of the questions that we've been having for the previous sittings that we had engagements and conversations with the NTP. But I think, Chair, it would be fair that I pose the following question, but starting with one that I know, as much as we are sitting here, our preoccupation is with the numbers, and these numbers in the main are financial. But Chair, the reality is that behind these numbers, there are human beings, there are families, and there are livelihoods. My question would be, is there a process while the board is moving in restructuring and strengthening the financial operations of the entity? Are there processes that are aimed at taking the staff or the affected people on board so that blow by blow they understand what is happening? And Chair, why I'm raising this issue is that there seems to be a lack of communication between the board, management, and the worker on the floor, either as a technical or in the airline itself. And we received from one of our members in our committee an article around the emotional hardships that goes through when entities or companies are faced with these particular challenges as it pertains to the development in the NEL, where you have staff members, some of them taking their own lives, losing livelihoods, and others losing their families due to the emotional trauma that the uncertainty comes with. So I'm just interested to know if whether is there a process that is aimed at ensuring that the staff members exactly know where we are, what is it that we are trying to achieve, and by when we'll be out of the woods. Yeah, the second one is based on the last point that was presented as additional information on the strictness of how this process will unfold, making sure that there's prudent spending and that each and every rent received or received and disbursed goes the extra mile. I just want to find out if whether, in order to ensure that that comment is realized, will there be specific conditions that will be attached to each portion of the 2.7 billion, as we are discussing, or are we just dispensing it to these particular subsidiaries and hoping for the best? My wish is that there will be conditions that will come with it to ensure that we are able to monitor if whether there's compliance and also alignment to the overall structuring objectives. The second one, Chair, is specifically related to Mango. The 819 million that is earmarked now for the subsidiary, will it be sufficient to ensure that Mango remains afloat after receiving it? And Chair, this is motivated by the fact that the cancellation of flights that we saw on TV, particularly the Zanzibar route, would have maybe, in my view, caused some particular reputational damage. And obviously there will be cost of unflown tickets. And maybe there are also a failure due to this temporary suspension of flights of receiving revenue and by extension servicing the existing debts. So I'm just interested to find out if whether is the 819 million still sufficient, given all these other developments that took place between the initial allocation of the 10 billion for the FAA and its subsidiaries and where we are today to ensure that the 2.7 billion earmarked for the subsidiaries do reach the particular subsidiaries, particularly the 819 million that is going to Mango. Still on Mango, Chair, I'd be interested to know if whether is the board aware and the management team, as to the extent of the debt liability that Mango has to AXA. And lastly, Chair, I just want to find out, besides AXA, is the board in possession or in clear understanding of what other debt obligations does Mango have, and what is the view of its creditors as we speak? And I'm raising this, Chair, because if I remember correctly, and the team will advise me and correct me if I'm wrong, I think the reason that SA Express is in a process of liquidation is that one of its creditors approached the court and requested liquidation as a result of them feeling that SA Express might not be in a position to ensure that what is due to them is received and serviced as debt. So according to them, they thought that SA Express was insolvent, and the court agreed with them and granted that. And some asking, Chair, on the state of creditors. Who do we know? Are we aware? Are we engaging them? What is their attitude? And how are we likely to fare going forward, since this confusion around the 2.7 debate is now being resolved? Yeah, the other one, Chair, was on the reputational damage on Mango. I've touched on it, the financial implications that comes with it, but also it will be important to find out if whether we will be able to calculate in monetary terms how much that reputational damage might cost Mango, and as a result, how then are we planning to mitigate it, either through communications in the media, communications with stakeholders, creditors, and all those that are affected by this particular glitch of having financial liquidity and leading up to the grounding of certain routes. Let me pause there, Chair. If maybe there are other questions coming to mind, I will request, if whether it's possible, that we come for the second round. Thank you very much, Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to participate in the discussion.
Thank you, Honorable Matabe. We'll definitely get the second chance to come
thank
in.
You,
and I request Honorable Kaiso.
Thank you very much, Chair. And let me also appreciate the presentation made by the SAA team with the brief that they have given the committee around the SAA and trying to answer our questions that we have sent to them. Tried to clarify other important areas during the presentation. Chair, if you would remember, it has always been our wish that we, all the state-owned entities, do not collapse, because they form bulk of the recovery of our economy. So hence, as the committee, we have interest in seeing that now the FAA does take off the ground and be in a position also to can be able to boost the economy. So that is why we have interest in ensuring that this SAA does not collapse. But one experience or observation, Honorable Chair, was that, you know, when my colleague talked about the issue of retrenchment, when this issue of retrenchment happened, we have seen a number of, you know, bad workers underwent a very, you know, bad experience during this process. And one experience that one has observed is that if this process unfolds, especially in the in the companies, various. Workers were the first people to experience or to undergo a very brutal, you know, exposure in their lives. They are the first target. So I just want to know, how would SSA avoid this in future? Not even SSA, I'm saying generally even on the state-owned enterprise. Workers should not be subjected into this kind of a very brutal experience that they underwent. That they stay in months and months without salaries. What could be done in future? Why doesn't it happen that at least for workers, there should be, you know, a protection line that is being drawn that now, for whatever reason that happens when the company collapses, so, workers, you know, benefits and wages are not affected by this immediately by this serious development, such as one that has undergone in SAA. I'm referring to a situation where, for instance, I want to know how is the SAA going to manage this. I want to term it, allow me to term it indefinite dispute, which took place decades by the technical staff. How are you going to manage a payment of such a decade dispute, which has taken place? And are you able to give a breakdown sort of, you know, approach to this so that it becomes, it is closed? Because I just want to imagine when we have a decade of dispute, or decade of a dispute of decade, how are you going to resolve so easily this difficult issue? So I just want to understand from the team SAA, how are you going to deal with this matter? Because it's a huge cost if you talk in terms of wages and salaries. Now, yes, of course, there was some process of engagement when declaring a section 189, if one is correct here. But then you can realize that a huge number of employees or workers have been retrenched. Now, what process is there that to assist those workers who will be retrenched through Section 189? Are there processes such as reskilling put in place and, you know, being considered as the company becoming, you know, operating in a way that at least it recovers from its serious crisis, the problem that is facing now? It's one of the questions that I wanted to respond to. Now, there are a number of various cases which have been referred to a special investigation unit to be looked at. And one of those cases is an issue that yourself, FAA, you're trying to negotiate of that of the money that was paid to a McKinsey. So I just want to know how much of that money is to be paid to McKinsey. It's one of the questions, Honorable Chair, that I want to ask. So now, Chair, let me pause. No, the last one was that my colleague has touched on it. I want to know what the 1.66 billion that you think you can leave with for SSA, I mean, the Mango. Do you think that money is an enough amount that you won't come back to say you again in trouble because of that reputational damage. Because you can see here, you have there's a 1.66 billion rand you say you utilize for that. So I just want to know whether, aren't you going to come back and say the money is not enough again? Thank you very much for knowledge.
Thank you. Any other round member would like to come in?
It's Matafa Chair, can I go for the second?
Please do.
Thank you very much, Chair. The one question that I just want to start with, it's just a question that just developed as I'm going through the presentation as made by the team, and it's something that maybe might be off tangent, is to find out if whether does the business rescue process generate IP, and if it does, who gets to control that IP, or who gets to own it? Simply put, Chair, the information gathered, consolidated, and used up to a point where FAA exits the business rescue process, who gets to keep it? So that in future, if FAA would want to refer to it, would it have access to that, or will it be in the sole possession of the practitioner? On that one, Chair, on slide 4, the presentation does state that they've exited the business rescue process. Now, my question would be, are we able to quantify the cost implications of the business process? How much did it cost us to get to a point where we say we are exiting, and then we are then able to start all these other commencement of negotiations towards hitting the skies again? And maybe we can speak of the cost drivers of the 7.8 billion if approved. How much was paid to the business practitioners, and are they able to also indicate for what items of the advice was this particular amount used? And the last one, Chase, just on the reality as far as the aviation industry is concerned and the impact of the pandemic. As the board factored the long-term sustainability plan, because for me, Chair, it tells me that immediately FAA will hit the sky, we do not necessarily be able to move as many passengers as it used to at the time pre-COVID-19 pandemic. So now we are chartering into a territory where we are exiting the business rescue process, but at the time that the aviation industry is still trying to recover, and there are also travel bans in certain parts of the world. So my question would be, particularly considering the operational costs that are involved in running an airline on a regular basis, like the fixed costs that are there, will we be able to have a trajectory that puts us on a sustainable path, or is it something that we'll start projecting or calculating while we are in operation and trying to normalize operations? Sorry, that wasn't the last one. The very last one is on a matter that was touched by Honorable Traiso with regards to the protracted negotiations, and he's alluded to the point of the Pilot Association, and the presenter spoke to that as well. My question is, how is the interface between the cabin crew and the SA pilot negotiation process? I know, Chair, that these are two separate representatives of workers, but you read in the media that there will be an offer on the table, the cabin crew will accept this offer, and the SA pilot will be indifferent to the process. When the South African Pilot Association is busy engaging, where is the cabin crew association? And I'm not sure if whether is it possible that maybe going forward a uniform approach is there in order to normalize negotiations. So I'm raising this question with the rider that I understand these are two different associations. But there are instances where you find different unions bargaining in the same working space, but they are able to operate in unison and in some of a collaborative approach. Is there a chance that we can achieve that in the space of the two particular associations, probably representing different interests and different working groups? Let me pause there, Chair. I once again appreciate the opportunity to come back again in this meaningful discussion. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Matafa. Honorable Kaiso, in the absence of...
No, I'm coming for now. I'll come if it's necessary.
Okay. Thank you. I think from my side, again, let me thank the chair of SAA and created the non-exec who are accompanying him, CEO and your team, and would like to wish you well as you try to deal with the challenges and ensuring that we take SAA back to the sky. But before I add to the question, I think I just wanted to stress this thing, chair of the board, the question of employees, and as you know that no, they don't have any other means of survival. They've been part of SAA for years and so on. I think Oromo Matafa raises the question of communicating with them so that they know very well what is happening. But not just for the employees, I think the greater public is also very much interested in knowing what is happening at SAA, especially after the recapitalization that the people of South Africa through Parliament put onto SAA. So we definitely require more communication from the side so that the South Africans know exactly where we stand, what is happening with their national airline. I think we should note that so that we all move in the same wavelength. Again, before the question, I think it's very important for us to stress here for the benefit of the public, and for the benefit of the media, which is attending here, that there is no additional allocation that we are making today. The special appropriation being presented by the minister and the budget, it's more of a technical thing that we need to go through so that we are able to take some money to technical and Mango. But from the 10.5 billion rand that has already been approved. So I'm stressing this so that tomorrow we don't wake up to the news which says that another bailout for SAA. We've dealt with this, and we've communicated before the 10.5 billion rand. I just thought I needed to stress that for the benefit of the public out there and for the members of the media who are attending. Chairperson, we'll still call you so that we can get the whole strategy that you are having of flying SAA in a sustainable way. I think we need to know that to start answering some of the questions colleagues or members have raised so that we ensure that going forward SAA in whatever form or shape it is sustainable. As I said, today we called you as part of us dealing with the special appropriation at bill 2021. So we will still need some further engagement. My first question, looking at your creditors, and stuff, I didn't see the provision for wage amount holders. What is the situation there, if you could share with us? This one has been asked, but I would like to stress, in total, how much did you pay the business, the rest of practitioners? And perhaps related to this, what is it that the business rest practitioners do, which management generally can't do? Because even during the process of the business rest practitioner, again, it was Parliament who had to appropriate additional funds. I just think from your perspective, what is the value that you really think that we got from the BRP, which ordinarily management and the board wouldn't be able to do? The question of, we have said that for this airline to be sustainable, and there's no debate about it, we seem to agree. The question of the strategic equity partner. Would you share with this committee as to how far we have gone with the strategic equity partner? If there are still some confidentialities, we'll understand. But we just know where exactly this process is and what are the time frames of getting a strategic equity partner on board. Remember, that helps the company to share both the upside and the downside. The risk is it gets shared between government as a major shareholder and the strategic equity partner, but I'm sure there are many other things that you are looking at, the managerial expertise and so on and so forth that you share with the strategic equity partner. So we are much interested in getting the time frames of getting the strategic equity partner on board. It's no rocket science to say that each and every day that SAA is not flying, the other companies who are flying, they are busy eating on what used to be the South African Airways market share. I would like to get from yourselves, how do you intend getting back the market share that you are losing each and every day that you are not flying? So much has been said about the dispute between the pilots and SAA. What are the main areas of dispute between SAA and pilots? Can you share that with the committee and with the people of South Africa who are watching and listening to us at the moment? One of the things which was cited as a big problem which led or contributed to the situation which we found ourselves as far as SAA is concerned is the question of the evergreen contract. I want just to check with you, and those evergreen contracts were said again to be very excessive. They charged us a lot of money, much above what the market charges. So I just wanted to check, if you are dealing with the pilots of that head, what is happening with those contracts? And I'm sure it's a comment, but from my side, but you may comment if you want, that again, each and every day that I spoke about market share, but again, each and every day which passes without FAA being in the sky, we are just burning cash without getting anything on your top line. So I heard that you are giving us the time frames of July to August. I think you need to start working towards a firmer date during which you want to start flying. With all the things that are there, but I think domestic flying there has picked up. You can see when you come to the airport, things have changed from what they used to be immediately after the reopening. Offline. Now, airports are busy, but what is conspicuous by its absence is the South African Airways tail. So the point that we are making is that each and every day which passes, we without SAA being in the skies, we are definitely spending cash. I would like to hear your comment. All members, before I give back to the chair of the board, any other person would like to add something? Okay. Jeff, we're back to you. Please, can you please respond in your team? You will direct as you wish as to who answers each question. We'll be listening in the meantime. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to the honourable members for firstly taking interest in the SAA group. I think these questions do indeed demonstrate that interest, and we truly appreciate that. And thank you for offering us an opportunity to respond. Chair, you would appreciate some of these questions, even though they've been asked by different people, there's an element of overlap. So as I answer them, I might touch those, but we will make sure I will ask the CEO to also keep tally that as I respond, that we do indeed respond to all the questions. Let me start by also appreciating the fact that, Chair, you have clarified that this is an appropriation. It's not a new application because the application was indeed made. So I think it's clear that is that. And you've also made it clear that there's no additional allocation here. The issue of communication, Chair, we we appreciate it has come up from the three of you who have asked questions. The approach for us, as much as we would want to communicate and will continue to communicate, and I know this platform also allows for that, but it is important for us to communicate a message which is clear, where we don't confuse people. So maybe that's why we haven't communicated as much as people or at least would have expected. But also, Chair, when the business rescue process is in place, the business rescue practitioner is in charge. That's the reality of the animal we're dealing with. So they are in charge. Even though ourselves as an interim board that came on the 8th of December, but they were in charge in terms of the law, that's probably one part. I mean, to talk to sub one of your questions on the business rescue, you said what is that they do that management cannot do. The law allows them to take charge of the company, regardless of the shareholders or management. They might collaborate with management. They might use management, which is in this case, to do certain things. But at the end of the day, they are the ones who are in charge. And that has been the situation, which is why we had not seen when we came in, whenever there was temptation for people to ask us what is the strategy and whatever, we couldn't do that until we are sure that they are indeed in charge. You asked a question on the strategic equity partner, the SEP. I will ask the DPE team here to maybe respond to that, but I will respond to the other questions. So I'm just warning them because that process, Chair, has been driven by the department as the shareholder. At the end of the day, it's the shareholder who decides how much percentage of the business they sell and whom do they want as their partner. So I will leave that to the DPE. The PT, the minister is not here, but I'm sure the DPE team is capable of addressing that. I do not have a response, including the timeline. But your observation is very, very key, Chair. For us to ensure that SAA is sustainable into the future, the role of the strategic equity partner is very key, especially when it's clear that the shareholder being government has said, we've put in so much money, do not have any further money. And also you mentioned the issues of the technical abilities, management capabilities, and all of that. So those are very key. So for the sustainability of SAA as a company, the role of the strategic equity partner cannot be overemphasized. So, but the DPE, I'm sure they will respond directly in terms of the timelines. We do appreciate that they are indeed confidentialities, which yourself, Jay, has highlighted. Now, let me come back to the questions that we will deal with. On how much the BRP has cost us, I will ask the Chief Financial Officer to tell us in due course, because he's updating the numbers. There's a number which you asked on the Voyager, which I do not think we have it, but I'm sure this chief financial officer can check that whilst myself and the CEO try and address some of these questions that you've asked. Chair, the issue of employees is very important, and it's one part which for us as at least as the interim board has been very close to our heart. It is indeed not right when you see how the people go through the pain that they've gone through. And I wish I had an easier answer to that. The CEO did indicate that there were about 4,000 SAA employees, and presently we left with about just under 1,000, but not all 1,000 are in the SAA, because almost about 200 of those will be going through the train layoff scheme. I think there was a question to say what support are we giving. So there was that part of the train. It's all this, or just over 200, which will be going through that to ensure that at least they get some other training so that they can be able to deal with other opportunities that might arise since they are not being part of the SAA. Now, how did we get to that 1,000 number, which was going to be less? That is informed by the restart plan, a plan which, in terms of the business rescue process, what happens is the business rescue says to the creditors, creditors, I want you all to take a sacrifice. So you take a sacrifice, but here is the plan that will help this entity to come around. And from that, one of the other parts you have to factor in is the revenue, where are you going to fly, how are you going to make the money, but also on the other side is on the cost implications, and then either the leases, the type of planes, and everything that goes with it, but in addition, then the people, then how many people would you need. So I'm sure all of us would appreciate when that decision was being made and the plan was approved sometime around June last year, there was no clear indication that we would be where we are as far as the pandemic is concerned. So the environment has changed significantly. So even those assumptions that we made then have changed. And so that will also impact on the final numbers that we see. So even I would imagine when the strategic equity partner comes in, they will have to look at those. So we might end up with a different number. But for now, those are the numbers that we have. So that was on SAA. Now, on air shelves, I will do with air shelves and set, and then we will come to Mango because there's a couple of questions which are dealing with Mango. So South African Airways Technical, which is, we call it SAT in brief, is going through a Section 189 because we have to engage. I mean, you would recall, I said in our presentation, about 80% of the business that SAT provided was largely to SAA. Now, not only SAA did SAA stop flying, but the new SAA that will be starting at a much lower scale than the original one. So that means then the type of support that it needs from other entities like AirShares and SAT will have to be at a reduced level. But also overlaying that, as much as we are seeing some coming back of other airlines, but even the other international and or local airlines are finding it difficult to operate at this level. So that means also their frequencies and the level of activity is not at the same level as it was in the past. So we'll see that. So that means then that impact on South African Airways Technical, which is why they're going through a Section 189, which has been published, and that engagement. And unfortunately, our labor laws does indeed allow for a proper engagement. So they're starting that process. So they needed to get all the proper approvals from the shareholder, and that they've gotten. And they're going through that process. That's one. That's on Asia. So that's where the engagement is going. I'll come back to the issue of them not getting their full salaries and all of this in the past. So the same process is going to happen with Asia, where they have over 1,160 odd people. So as the same, the bulk of the business was with SAA, but also the international flights have been affected severely. And also we've seen, I mean, a number of countries not allowing travelers to go into their countries. That is the infected list. So the Section 189 for those two entities, in fact, for SET is started, for Asia to start, to ensure that then there's a proper, call it a somehow humane way of dealing with the reduction of staff numbers in line with our labor laws. Now, the issue of these employees not being paid in the past has to some extent not only been because of the point I've made, the reliance to SAA largely, but also the ability for them to access this money that you are talking about here, the appropriation. Because you needed that money to ensure that you're able to restructure. We had thought when we came that money would have flown by now, and that continued delay and them not being able to generate sufficient revenue has resulted in them not being able to be, at least them being the employees, not being able to be paid. It is not a pleasant situation. It's been the one which has stressed this board interim as it is very severely. We've looked at different options, looking at bridge finance and whatever, to try and find that. And to a large extent, we've not been as successful as we had thought we'd have been. And that has resulted in this situation, which was not pleasant to anyone, where the employees do not get their full pay or they get part of their pay, which is set in SAA. And it's not something that we as a board derived any joy in. That is why we tried from all corners, talking to National Treasury, DPE, and everyone, to try and see even the business rescue practitioners, whether is there any way in which whilst we're trying to sort out or regularize this through this appropriation, can we indeed get to that? But we are here now, and we have not had that money flowing. So that's why the financials of these entities have been so severely stressed. I want to leave Mango last, a couple of them, because that one is a bit of a difficult one which we look at. In terms of what can we do into the future to ensure that the employees do not experience what they have. One is when, especially when we're looking at SAA, when we're looking at the restart, what we're trying to do is to ensure that the number of people that will be requested to do the job is packed at the right level, so that you do not have the issue then where you have too many people and then suddenly now you are not able to pay them. Naturally, that final determination, the role of the strategic equity partner will be key. So, but it's for us to ensure that we pack that. But the comfort is we do have labor laws which allow us to do that. Now, what we will find difficult to can firm up is to say what we're predicting into the future, can it indeed happen? I mean, obviously when you do a business plan, you try and ensure that you put all the scenarios in place. One big part, which is in the macro level, which is a bit of a concern, which is really none of us have anticipated it to go through this. Hopefully with the vaccination process starting, especially phase two, that will help, is this role of the pandemic. We've seen how the other countries have been impacted by this, and that has an impact in the level of travel, which ordinarily would have seen in the past, where now the issues of looking at your borders to ensure that you limit the level of travel. So that unknown makes it even more difficult for us to do this. I'll come back to that when we talk about Mango as well. The dispute, and I think Honorable Matafa has mentioned it, and Honorable Kaiso have mentioned it in different parts. The dispute with the pilots, and I think yourself, Chair, has also mentioned it. What are the areas of dispute? The areas of dispute is simple, it's money, Chair. I wish that there could be a better way of me putting it. It's money. It's how much the pilots feel they should get as a result of this structure. Obviously, SAA has a different view, and the pilots have a different view. We have, as the CEE in that slide, which he was explaining. The bulk of the other employees, we have reached agreement. Well, through the business rescue practitioners, because they were the ones who were driving the process. There's agreement reached. And to a large extent, it's only the pilots that has not been agreed on. And one other part is, but there's this agreement which they've had, this long-standing agreement that they've had, which had given them some privileges, which has made it a bit tricky and difficult for the airline to try and reach an agreement. The management, as I said, had a, now that the business rescue process is completed, now it came back now to the executives to deal with it. So they had the first round, and they are going to have another round of negotiations. And we are not closed yet, Chair, where I can say this dispute will be resolved by this. Now, my point as the chair of SAA interim, as it might be, is that it is only fair that everyone takes a bit of sacrifice if we want to ensure that we want to have a sustainable airline going forward. Because at this stage, it's a bit difficult for us to say we are at that point. So the simple answer is the issue of how much should they be paid vis-a-vis that. There was a point to say, is there an issue where there can be collaboration between the different unions, cabin crew and SAA pilots? Chair, that I don't think ourselves can have a view. I mean, unions represent their members, and they are the ones who can decide how best to do that. For us, as board and management, what we're trying to do is to try and see what are the chances of us bringing back a company, which is SAA, that is sustainable into the future. And for that to happen, there has to be some sacrifices. You yourself, Chair, said a government has approved over 10.5 billion rands into this, in which the taxpayers have put in. So it's for us to see how best we ensure that that money is used. And now, if all of it just goes to one set of stakeholders, it becomes a bit. Not all of it, if the majority of it goes to one set of stakeholders to the detriment of others, it makes it difficult to do that. So, but we'll allow the process of the negotiations with the executives to continue. Hopefully we'll find each other and be able to resolve that, because the pilots, as we know, they are key in the flying of the airline. And but it must be also remembered they are also a stakeholder which is falls under the employees of the airline. So I'll leave it at that, maybe let me pause so that the CFO, as I said, I will come back to Mengo, not dodging the Mengo questions, because there's a couple of them. Maybe the CFO can just say, how much did we pay the BRP process? If you can have the background figure, do you have the information?
Yes, Chair, I do have the information. It's a total of 281 million. Included in there are various consultants and lawyers. The actual amount to BRP is 78 million. The total sum is 281.
Thank you, Figile. Do you have anything on the Voyager? Did you manage to find anything on the Voyager?
Yes. So the Voyager credits are totaling 900 million. The program was closed, as the airline has been closed, and it shall be open as we open the airline. The validity is being extended. It has been overall factored in when the application was made for funding as one of the creditors within the airline. Thank you very much.
Thanks. So, Chair, the question was, does the BRP generate an IP and can it be kept? So the BRP process, at the end, what you end up with is a business plan going forward, a plan which then the company can use. That's the plan which the executive is looking at, but now factoring in the new dynamics that have come in because of the environmental change. So that process led to a plan which the creditors approved to say, okay, we as creditors will be able to take a haircut, but we know that there's a plan that will come into place that will give the opportunity, the business an opportunity to survive. So that's what we've ended up with, and then the executive is looking into that, and maybe to this point, maybe I'll ask the CEC if you could maybe just at high level, what is it that you are looking at in terms of the environment? Obviously, I'm sure you'd be sensitive to some of the confidentiality because of the nature of the business you're in. But it maybe give a sense, now that we have the plan, what are we looking at to prepare it going forward?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson, and I must make a comment and, you know, appreciate the questions that have been asked, specifically that relates to the concerns around the well-being of employees. And I must say that there is something that we don't take lightly. We are doing our best to make sure that we minimize the negative impact as well. And more importantly, just in addition to what the Chair has said, that we are ramping up communication as we've been a few weeks that now we are fully you know, running the organization. We take the note there from the Chair in terms of communication and making sure that we engage adequately. Chair, you asked a very good question around the market share. It is true that the longer we are not taking, you know, our space in the market, competitors are eating into that. You would appreciate as well that I would like to share as much details as possible around some of the tactics that we will develop. But this is our competitive advantage that we would like to keep as close to our chest as possible. But for the benefit of the public, I think it is important just to highlight at a high level what we are looking at. We're looking at you know, the lease agreements as well in terms of the kind of agreements that you enter into. They can be very costly because they can be fixed on a monthly basis, on an annual basis, and they can eat a lot into your bottom line. That's one of the areas that we're looking at. Other things that we're looking at is also, you know, using the expertise and the brand that we build around the cargo space as well, and being able to leverage some of the routes in the continent using our cargo expertise. So that's something that we are looking at as well. And also, Chair, we need to be very cautious and careful in how we select our routes that we are going to take on. If you're not aware, our plan is that in our first 2 years, at least we are at a domestic and regional level, so that we can, you know, push more momentum to see if we can consider some of the profitable routes internationally. But Chair, our standing point is that we need to engage only in profitable routes. If any route is not going to be profitable, it will need to take a strong business case for us to really enter into that, especially when we're trying to make the most out of the market that we currently have. And also, Chair, some of the things we need to look at is around issues of, you know, the infrastructure that we have, the kind of planes that we have. Do we need to reconfigure them in terms of the seating arrangements within to see if we can be able to maximize what the market offers us as well. And Chair, one of the things as well is as we build up the restart plan, the key is to make sure that, you know, the burning of cash is kept to a minimum. For example, you know, instead of getting into those leases of aircraft, we try and make sure that at least we get into what we call power by the hour in terms of not paying a fixed monthly amount, but paying as you use. So that is the kind of thing that we are looking at as well. Internally, we need to ensure that we retrain our staff as well and try and make sure that we've got a multi-skilled employees that can assist in different responsibilities at a particular time. And again, Chair, one of the you know, important thing about aviation is that if you let your cost get out of hand, you'll find yourself wanting. And we are putting mechanisms internally in place to make sure that we are clear what cost we are incurring, and we get the most out of this particular cost. And one important thing is to hold people accountable for what they are spending on. And more importantly, for those who transgress some of the policies of the organization, we need to ensure that there is adequate consequence management, Chair. We are in a space where we need to do more with less. We can't afford to just take it for granted as if that money is available all the time. So we need to be very strict around those who are not spending adequately as well. But more importantly, we need to prepare them to understand the importance of, you know, planning for cost efficiency as well. one of the questions that was asked was around, you know, this allocation that goes to the subsidiaries in terms of how do we make sure that the money is spent for what it is intended for. And I want to say again that we need to be clear as this money is spent for subsidiaries, what it needs to be used for. We need to get into those you know, agreements with the subsidiaries where there is clear strategies, but more importantly, strategies that are executed as well. And again, levels of accountability need to be very clear, and we need to also minimize as much as possible wastage. As you had a sense that with all these contracts that are being investigated by the ISIU and the Hawks and the Public Protector, that there's been a lot of mismanagement of certain procurement processes, and we need to tighten that up by making sure that we monitor them adequately and we hold those who are responsible accountable. Like I said, Chair, I would have loved to share more about the tactics that we are considering internally, but those are things that we are also still stress testing as well to make sure that they can be accommodated on the market, but also not divulging too much for the competition. Thank you, Chair. If I may get back to you.
Thanks, CE. And I can assure you, Chair, because the meeting that we are getting closer to that. I'm leaving Mengo last, Chair. You'll appreciate when I respond why we do that. Before I ask the DPE to come in on the issue of the SCP, let me say, Chair, there was a question to say, what is it that the BRP brings that we don't? The BRP, because it's in terms of the Companies Act, so they have, call it the legal standing of talking to all the creditors, freezing and or cancelling all the agreements that they have, renegotiating those. So that's one part that the BRP process has done and it has brought. And in fact, what we can do, I don't have access to it here, but we can share that with the committee. They do, in fact, they did produce a report because they are required in terms of the law to report to CPIC in terms of to what they call the affected stakeholders, what they've done and what they've achieved to date. So we can send that to the committees also, that the committee is side of that. So most, if not all, the agreements, at least to our knowledge, have been renegotiated. So there was a question to say then, do we still have those evergreen contracts? To our understanding, we don't, because all of those, the new SAA that is coming in almost, not 100%, almost on a new clean slate. So we are not anticipating that there should be evergreen contracts that should be in existence that we don't know about. But I'm sure as the executive now is doing the takeover, they will look at those. Naturally, we do not want contracts that will actually put us back to where we want to be, because the whole idea was to give the SAA a chance going forward. Let me, with your permission, Chair, ask the CFO to come back and talk about there was a question on how much is money specifically on McKinsey, and then after that, I'll ask DPE to come in, and then after DPE, then Chair, I will address the member questions. CFO?
Thank you, Chair. The amount that had been paid to McKinsey for consulting work was $10 million, which they offered to repay back after the processes within the Zondo Commission. Having done that, there was a contestation from SAA as to whether an element of interest ought not to be factored on the amount. The argument was that SAA has all along been surviving on borrowed funds, and they had interest that they were servicing. And that's where the issue is at. It hasn't been fully concluded at this stage, but there is obviously an offer for $10 million. There is an issue of interest that is on the table. Thank you very much.
Thanks, CFO. So, I'm not sure, is it Mr. Makobe, are you the one, or is Nonius going to take the SCP process? How far are we and what are the timelines?
I'll take that, Chair.
Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Committee, colleagues from SAA and DPE.
My name is Melanchthon Makobe. I'm the DDG of Legal and Governance at the department. Indeed, the shareholder is responsible for the FCP process. It is a shareholder reserve matter. There has been a lot of progress that has been made in that regard. We are in the final discussions with the FCP, and we are confident of finalizing the process very soon. And we acknowledge, Chairperson, as you said, that the process of FCP is critical for the future sustainability of SAA, and hence we are expediting the process of getting an FCP, which process will finalize soon in the next month. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Mr. Makobe. Chair, let me come to Mango, because I think that's the last set of questions that we have with this on our site, as I was checking when people were answering and helping me answer here. So, Chair, to say Mango is in a dire state is an understatement. Indeed, the grounding of Mango, which we saw a couple of weeks ago, has impacted its reputation. And has made it quite challenging for it as it continues to fly into the future. So Mango restarted flying immediately when there was a bit of opening, and during that period, the numbers were not at least at the levels which they thought they would be, and so that means they've been burning cash. And I think there was also a question of saying, for as long as we're not flying, are we not burning cash? I think that was the question on SAA. Indeed, I mean, once you have access to these big machines, because they are not very cheap to maintain, I've come to realize if you fly them, even if it's half empty or three quarters full, you are indeed not flying them at a sustainable level. So we've seen the creditors of Mango being nervous. Others are willing to work with us, but others have been very nervous, and I understand, because it's not only Mango, but it's that whole industry. And the number of those creditors, some of them are government-owned, like AXA is one of them, but others are private. So the management team of Mango is talking to them, but to say, Chair, everything is well in Mango, that would be a misinterpretation of things. It's not, Chair. There's lots of engagements. In fact, what I didn't mention during the engagements, all of these subsidiaries, they've got CEOs, even though some of them are interim, and they are talking to their staff, their different staff, in terms of where the situation is, where we are, and engaging with the labor. So same as in Mango. Is the 819 sufficient? I think that was a specific question, Chair. As I sit here, Chair, it's clear it's not sufficient. That is why we are looking at all options in terms of Mango, even including engaging with their creditors to see what is the best way of dealing with this situation that we are facing. We are engaging with the shareholder, so the 819 does assist to some extent in helping us restructure it, but it's not sufficient. If we look at the level of liabilities that are there and the creditors, so that's why we're engaging with the shareholder, as both as the board of Mango and also the board of SAA, to see what is the best way forward for Mango. We're looking at all options, and I hope you'd appreciate, Jeff. So once we come up to some position, which should be soon, we would want to make sure that the stakeholders, firstly of Mango, are communicated with. And then in those stakeholders, including the staff. So in fact, the SAA board is spending disproportionate time dealing with the Mango issues, because that's one of our ones which is very, very worrisome in terms of its state. Without putting any blame, I mean, obviously the fact that we have not received the allocation up until now, because when they restarted, the plan was they will restart, get some money to do a bit of restructuring, and then continue. But obviously that had not happened. So that has sort of exacerbated the problem. So all options are on the table in terms of how best we can try and address the situation. And once we've gotten guidance from the shareholder through our engagements, I'm sure the department will share with the committee as well to in terms of the way forward, Chair. So that's where we are. So in short, the state of our subsidiaries needs urgent attention, Chair, and I hope with this presentation that we have, the committee will assist us to ensure that the appropriation indeed does happen as quickly as possible. We are looking at saying how do we give them oxygen between now and until the appropriation happens so that we can restructure them and ensure that they are given a chance going forward, especially that which is key into the aviation industry. Chair, we've tried to answer all the questions, at least from as I check them. If we've missed some, we would appreciate your point. It's not because we don't think they're important. It might be just that we've missed them. But over to you, Chair. Thank you for allowing us to speak and address this question. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Chairperson of South African Airways, Mr. Pena. Honourable members, any follow-up questions? Yes or no, honourable members?
No, I'm fine, Chair. I'm fine, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, let me just make perhaps one or two follow-ups. I just want to check with DPE mainly. Are we looking at SET Strategic Liquidity Partners at our subsidiaries, that is both Mango and SAA Tank? What is the position? What is the position there? to while we are still on the subsidiaries, SAE Technical. I think what is also very important, I think during your presentation, Chair, you said you also provide some of these services to other airlines. I think SAET being the more important of the two. So I think from our side, it's very important that the skill which resides there should not be lost, because I think it's very important. I think one day we're told about our aircraft which are being flown to somewhere in the Middle East to be maintained. I think that would take a big competitive advantage for the country to do that. If we have lost some of these skills, I think it's very important that we maintain what we have and we continue throwing some skills there, because it's a skill that we can give out even if we are not flying. I just thought I needed to make that that point. And two, you must always remember that when you talk to us, you are talking to the lawmakers. Why I'm saying that is that when we come out of certain processes, for instance, from the DRP process, you might have observed certain things which perhaps if the law were to be amended to accommodate them, then you share those things with us as lawmakers, either through your minister, but even directly to us. I'm just saying that it's very important that when we come out of these processes, there are some lessons learned, and some areas that perhaps you think that in the act, as you are talking to the lawmakers, there are things that we need to attend to. I'm just being general, but I'm prompted by the BRP thing to say perhaps if the law would say this and so on after having done these things, because I think from our side, we would like a win-win type of a situation when we come out of these processes, but it will be interesting to get from you, as people who are closer to the game, to say perhaps we need to do certain things differently. Lastly, I think I'll come to that one as I close, but can I allow you to respond, DPE Chair? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
The discussions with the SEPT are at a very sensitive stage. We are actually finalizing the details and the nature of the interest with the SEPT with regard to the SAA group and the subsidiaries. So we request the committee just to allow us to finalize this phase of discussions. And once we have agreed concretely, that we come back and then give you a concrete feedback in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Mr. Nkobe, for that. Chair, your observation on, especially on SPEX, South African Airways Technical, is really spot on. You know, I get to understand the role they play, the more I appreciate how key they are in the South African education industry. So that's why in our endeavor, at least as the board and when we interact with DPE, we're trying to preserve as much of the skill that is there as possible. Even though they'll be going through a Section 189 because of the economic situation, so even in that process, the message to management of SAD is to ensure that that key competence we continue to have. We are going through a slump as the airline industry in general, but there are other parties, quality players in the industry who are very reliant on South African Airways Technical. And in fact, if you look in the sub-Saharan Africa, it is one of those key ones which has got that skill in terms of really maintaining and repairing some of these airlines. So we will do our utmost best to see whether... And I think the allocation that will come for SET will go a long way in trying to address this. As they do their 189 and as we try and also catch up on some of the unpaid salaries that will come from that, it is a way of us to try and positioning them so that they have a chance going into the future. We will take up the point on the lawmakers. You are indeed, you are lawmakers, and in fact, there's lots of lessons to be learned by having the business risk process for state-owned entities. It's different, Chair, the business risk. It has been an eye-opener for me. I've been exposed to some BRPs, but in a different part. And this one has been different. And we will indeed share with DPE. In fact, and I think DPE has more lessons than us learned from this process. And I think there are areas we can improve. I think the idea of having a business rescue process was a good one, but there are areas in which we can improve, especially when there's only one shareholder and which shareholder is expected to put all the money. It comes up with its own challenges. And then also, what's the role of the board in that process? But we will share this with DPE, and I'm sure DPE through the ministry will engage with yourself. Thank you.
Thank you. Chair, thank you to DPE and non-exec from SAA, CEO with the official team. Thank you very much. Yeah, indeed, Jeff, we need to look at this thing, and at the right time, we would like you to share some of the lessons. I think for me, following this process, the areas which just came up to say, I think this could be done differently, and so on. But let me reserve that and allow you the space. And definitely would like to engage with that process, share with us the lessons that would have been learned. Just to talk about the process now, hearing you very well, Chair, about the need for intervention, especially at Mango, and I'm sure at SAT and HS, this process of the Special Appropriation Bill. We are looking from our side as the committee. First week of June, we were finalizing our process and then immediately go to National Assembly a few days. And again, I think it will still be the first week of June where this Standing Committee on Appropriation and the National Assembly finalize their process. I think by the first week of June will be done. Then, as you know, the lawmaking process, then it goes to NCOP. I think somewhere mid-June, the NCOP process would be finalized. And since we're talking about the money that has already been dealt with, I don't foresee a big challenges, although I shouldn't preempt the National Assembly and the NCOP, but as I said, this is not new money. It's money that was already approved. I think it's the technical part which we are dealing with. So, give it a take, mid-June, I think this process should be finalized. I think it was a worthwhile engagement, and we appreciate your preparation for the committee. As I said, that our interaction today was mainly around the special appropriation bill, but again, to ensure that we get to know and we don't get things when you approach the committee, when there should be some recapitalization. Would like to get the fuller picture of the airline, especially again after the finalization of the process of the SEP, so that we know what type of an SEP that you are getting on board and what type of data that the South Africa were getting from that process. I'm sure we'll still engage in future. But yeah, I think this brings us to the end of this part of the agenda, and thank you very much. You may decide to stay, but I think you have got a lot of work to do to ensure that we are on the sky, not on the ground. We can excuse you and your team as we continue our agenda. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks to the honourable members for giving us an opportunity. Truly appreciate it. And once more, we appreciate your interest in SAA, and thanks for your support. Have a good day.
Thank you. Darren?
Yes, Chairperson.
We are now on the announcements from your side.
Yes, Chairperson. I received an apology from Ms. Dikhale while the meeting was in process. Number two, we received a request from the Minister of Higher Education that we postpone our meeting that was initially scheduled for Tuesday. So, we are going to try and request permission from the Chief Whip to meet next Friday with the Department of Higher Education.
Yeah, please just for sake of completeness. Darren, just share with the honourable members the reason that the Minister of Higher Education and Training advanced for a request for postponement of our engagement. He knows that he's the only time in Parliament now. But,
Mr. Chair, the Minister has a long-standing prior engagement with COPA in the morning, and then also the Minister is required to present the budget board for science and technology in the National Assembly, so it's definitely not available.
Yeah. So, members, I think that talks to the very big schedule for Parliament and especially for the ministers at this time of the year. Any other?
No. That's it, Jefferson.
So on Tuesday, do we have a meeting?
Yes, sir. We've got agriculture on Tuesday.
At what time?
Same time, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, okay. Okay, remember there was supposed to be two, so the farm just on Tuesday, all members who are having a meeting with agriculture at 9 o'clock. Okay? Thank you very much. I think this takes us to the end of this meeting. thank you, Chair, for arranging the meeting and the meeting as I said.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you, Matata. Thank you, Kaiso. Thank you, the poor. Thank you, members.
Yeah.